True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Cody and Gold. 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, you know, it's like, wait a second. This isn't Alex and Cody. No, it is Mac Morey, JT Noah behind the glass, Drew Nixon on this Labor Day. How's it going, guys?
Hello, hello. What's up? Good morning. Let's get going on a Tuesday or on a Monday.
On a later
Monday.
On a Tuesday.
Whatever day it is.
Mac, you're a little amped up. You got a little extra hour sleep in today. You're like, let's go.
That's exactly
right.
Did.
I thought about you, and I was like, man, Mac's probably like, this is late.
Slept in till 8 o'clock.
He's like, hey, I'm having a slumber party last night, baby. Tennessee won, and I get to sleep a couple extra hours this morning.
Exactly.
And we're going to get into this later. I'm a little bit more amped up today than normal, guys, because Mike Pinnell.
Oh, jeez.
Mike Pinnell's a Cincinnati Bengal.
Don't even get me started.
What the hell are we doing?
Dude,
come on.
Beak out there sitting on his walker getting after you.
Mike Pinnell. We're not getting hype over Mike Pinnell. We're getting hype over the fact that we just had 3 days of straight college football.
A great weekend.
Is what we just watched. Some really good football. I wouldn't say the games were a little underwhelming. Ohio State, Texas.
Very entertaining. I mean, it is tweak
LSU,
one.
LSU, Clemson. Eh.
Tweak one.
Yep, I understand.
And they don't have
it.
Preseason, so you would think the NFL week would probably be better quality football. But the weekend was great. 913-586-7965. I'm told the text line is, we might not be able to see any of your texts.
We're out of commission.
Apologies for that, but the weekend was really good. I was obviously in Madison for the weekend. I had a blast. There was one moment where I had like a mild panic attack. Like it was like a 30-second panic attack.
Oh no!
I on the first flight, I was getting off the plane and I wasn't paying attention to the overhead compartments because I was like, oh, you know, I'm just going to get my bag and I'll go. I get up to get my bag and my bag's not there. I was like, excuse me, talk to the flight attendant, like, hey, my bag's not here. I think somebody took my bag, my suitcase. And she was like, I was like, is there anything I can do? She was like, you just need to talk to the kiosk up there with the airline. I said, okay. So I'm walking, I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to do this? I got a layover, but my bag's gone. For all we know, they could have left and they're gone and they're going to leave and I'm not going to have my suitcase. I'm not going to see it ever again.
Panic mode.
I walk out and the person who had taken my bag, she noticed that it wasn't hers. I was like, I think you have my bag. She was like, I think I do too. And I was like, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I had a mild panic attack because that would have sucked.
Yeah, that would have. Oh, no, I would have spiraled, dude. No, that would have been a panic attack for sure. That stuff. Airport. That see, with me, it's flights. Like the actual being up in the air doesn't give me anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Airports, though. I get a little anxious at airports. A lot of people, a lot of moving pieces,
I like
and parts. Really? You like airports?
I like airports.
JT, airport opinion?
I mean, I don't fly often, but I like airports. They're cool. I like the new KCI.
I think that's why.
Yeah,
because
KCI is fantastic.
I think that's why because I don't fly very often.
My family told me to take the road. We're going to drive all the way to Kentucky.
Or yeah, that's the way I was
raised.
We're
going to do that.
I like an airport beer. That's top of the beers.
Facts. I had an airport beer for the first time ever.
It's good, too.
Last time. It's fantastic. My brother and I were flying out of Chicago at the same time. We got dinner and I had a beer.
Hell yeah.
It's the first time I've had a beer at an airport. Normally, I just get water and I get a little snack and I'm good to go.
It's the only place, no matter what time it is, you will not be judged for having any sort of alcohol. Doesn't matter.
Must be 3 a.m. I actually can't drink beer, so I don't know anything about airport beer or the shower beers everyone talks about. I can't drink.
You're not missing out, because if it's beer, it's not good.
Okay.
You can tell Bink I said that, too.
Yeah, I can't do beer because of the yeast in it, so yeah.
Oh, is that? Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Can you do like seltzers?
I do seltzers.
Surfsides.
I've got to try one.
No Dusty's bubbles, been no trying troubles, to, bro.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I knew you were going to say. Yeah,
oh, absolutely. Fantastic. I was sipping on a lot of those this weekend, watching great football.
With Dusty?
Yes, a little bit with Dusty. Yeah, it's true. With Bob and Dusty, watching some great football and, yeah, having a great time. My brothers were in town this weekend, so I got to hang out with them,
which was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Sick.
It was a really good time. Played a lot of disc golf, 2 courses yesterday. Played Rosedale and then played over in Black Hoof. It was good.
Today on the show, we're talking Chiefs, of course. It's week one, finally here. Woo. Royals, of course, making some moves. We'll talk about that. College football as well, all of that coming up in just a little bit. Disc golf. So Dusty obviously golfs. I have a background of golfing. I golf.
Yep, big golfer.
What are the differences in terms of, like, is it still 18 holes, I would assume? Yep. How exactly is it, like, how does it play? Because I've never done disc golf before.
It's pretty similar. I mean, there's no like handicap type situation for as far as scoring's concerned. But there's 18 holes. I mean, there's different discs, just like there'd be different clubs.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So like there's putters, there's mid rangers, there's different plastics, there's different, you know, thickness of a disc.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, so it's very, it feels like it's very intense.
Yeah,
beyond
different
just
flight
like a basic
paths.
Level.
Oh yeah, we've got big bags. We go. You know, up our disc. You know, when we get a new disc, we're just as excited when
you
get a new club
a disc,
or
you're good.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, disc golf's awesome because if you lose a disc, yes, it sucks because you build a relationship with the disc. You learn the disc. You wear in this disc after it hits a few trees. Yes,
I gotcha.
You lose it. But then again, it's $30, $25, $20, whatever it is. So it's not the exact financial commitment that ball golf is. But either way, yeah. So it was a good weekend, family, fun, hanging out with the sister, went to the Royals game on Saturday night. So to see the Bobby Witt slam a jam homer dead center, 427 feet, a piss missile in the eighth inning to win that game 3-1 against the Tigers. It was the one game they won this weekend.
At least it was on Fox.
Hey, more of the nation saw it. There's a positive from JT. I love the optimism over there on the other side of the glass.
How many games are they back now? 3?
I think it's 3. Yeah, today.
How many games are left? And they still have to, and they're still chasing the Mariners.
Yeah, still chasing the Mariners, and the Guardians have caught them now Guardians lost yesterday as well. So
yes,
it's still one game lead on the Guardians and 3 back from the Mariners.
And they play the Mariners coming up. They're still for those people. Again, I grew up in a household that did not follow baseball as much because we only had minor league baseball. Whatever. If you're saying the season is over still, if people are saying the season was over and there were 4 games out with 42 games left.
25 games left.
Relax. 3 games. They literally, if they sweep the Mariners, will be tied for a wild card spot.
I know it's
an if, but they can easily be on the good side of things in 5 days. It's okay. They got to get it done, but they could easily be on the other thing, on the other side of it. In 5 days. We'll get to that.
The Rangers actually have now passed the Royals. So the Rangers are 2.5 back.
Okay, so they're also... Okay, so that changes things a little
bit.
They're also relying on what the Rangers are doing.
The Rangers are now 2.5 back from the Mariners. We're 3. So, and I don't think we play the Rangers again. I think... But we do own the season tiebreaker over the Rangers. So there's
that. Right, because they play... Yeah, yep. They won that series.
Rangers have the Diamondbacks today. They start a 3-game series with the Diamondbacks. So... Okay. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that
change.
As well. Yeah,
of course. It's not over yet.
Also, is it weird that the Royals are not playing today on Labor Day?
Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah, it's a little upsetting, too. Yeah. I was kind of like, okay, let's see, going off the Royals yesterday. Okay, getting ready for today. Like, dang, off day. And then it starts against the Angels, 3 games. And then, it's the start of the continuation of a 9-game homestand where they went 1-2 versus the Tigers to start out. But yeah, we'll get into that later.
How pumped up are you about this week? Because Mac and I showed up at the same time, and I looked at it, I was like, this is game week. It's like different. Like, we've been waiting for September to hit all this time, and I know everybody out there who's a Chiefs fan says, well, the season doesn't start until October or November, until the playoffs, whatever. The season officially starts on Friday night. You can listen to the game right here on 96.5
The Fan.
Josh Briscoe will be getting you ready with pre and post. Of course, Dana and Mitch Holtis, Josh Klingler will be getting you ready as well.
Mitch Holtis on his Odyssey anniversary as
hey,
well.
Hey, shout out to Mitch. And also, we'll get to... today's also Cody's birthday. So DM him.
Happy birthday, Cody.
Say happy birthday.
Here we go. Already sent him a text. Did you send him a text?
I did send him a text, as did...
I have not yet. I need to.
Yeah.
Say happy birthday to Cody for everybody out there. And I know everybody is excited to hear the all-time famous Cody Tapp drop, because it is September 1st. And did you save it to the top of the rundown, JT? I gave you no notice. So
yeah.
I love it. This is good.
Is it on yours?
This is what I want.
Here we go.
For the beginning of the show.
That's my birthday.
There it is. Happy birthday.
It says it's opened by someone else. I couldn't open it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Happy birthday to Cody Tapp.
That's my birthday.
September 1st. Okay, so September 1st, and given that it's game week, what is the biggest challenge in your mind, Mac, as the Chiefs play the Chargers this week?
I think there's a couple of things that we could get into. I've got some questions on the Chiefs side before I get into necessarily what my challenges are with the Chargers. I'll talk about what the challenges are here in Kansas City. I don't know where Trent McDuffie's going to be playing necessarily. I know Christian Fulton has been back. He's been practicing. Hopefully he's going to be incorporated in that starting lineup. Because, again, I've talked about this all offseason. That allows McDuffie to go to his primary position, which is a slot corner, which is where he's a first-team All-Pro and one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. That's going to then allow him to be on Ladd McConkey most of, if not all of the game. And that's going to be crucial, right? Ladd McConkey's their number one weapon through the air. We'll see what Amarian Hampton is, and we can discuss him as well when we talk about the Chargers. But Ladd McConkey, Trent McDuffie, that's a big matchup that I want to see, and that'll allow the Chiefs to do what they want to on the defensive side of the ball. And that kind of all hinges upon the fact that Christian Fulton is here and ready to go. If he is not... That means McDuffie has to slide out, and they're doing a slot corner of whether it's Chamari Connor, whether it's usually it's been Chamari Connor. That's really what it's been. So that's a big thing that I'm watching with the Chiefs. As far as the Chargers are concerned, I mean, listen, this is a team that's going to want to run the ball against a team in the Chiefs that through the past 3 or so years have struggled overall to stop the run, and they're going to want to hit you deep and play action and have Herbert throw strikes and throw lasers across the middle of the field. So those are the biggest challenges with the Chargers. They're going to be a team that's going to want to take a 6 to 8 minute drive and do that twice.
Jim Harbaugh ball.
Yes, that's what they're going to want to do. And again, a lot of that hinges upon Amarian Hampton, and we can talk about him as well. That is their first round pick. If you don't know that name, that's fine. Second running back and taken in the draft out of North Carolina. This guy's a beast. He's a bruiser. Yep. If you look up highlights of him in the preseason, he's carrying 3 or 4 grown men across the field with him. He's going to be a guy who's going to cause some damage. He's not much of a burner. Not that he's slow, but this is a guy that could give the Chiefs some issues twice a year for the next, you know, foreseeable future.
Current odds right now on ESPN Bet: Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites. Over/under is 44.5. Again, that game is being played in Sao Paulo, Brazil. If you're listening and you're not in the Kansas City area, you can watch that game on YouTube.
Free. It's free on YouTube.
Also, be able to watch it here.
Yep.
Locally as well.
I was really going to be concerned about the offensive line versus defensive line effect with the Chargers and Chiefs, but then losing Slater, I think, is a huge, huge loss.
Massive.
For the Chargers. And I think that gives more of an edge now to the defensive line for the Chiefs. And I'm really excited to finally see Josh Simmons actually go up against, like, I get it, he's gone in the preseason, but this is real full speed. That's going to go for it.
Going up against a former DPOY. I mean, you're going up against Khalil Mack. It's going to be nice. You're going up against a veteran who knows every move in the book. He's forgotten more about this than you know yet, Josh. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be what Simmons is going up against week one. And I'm excited about that. It's not a top 5 defensive end. It's a top 12.
I think that's kind of where I was going with it. I don't know if there's... it's hard to say a challenge for the Chiefs in this just because they've dominated the division so much. Yeah. But
and this team's going to be better than they were last year.
Yeah, I think that...
Book that.
If I had to pick one, it's just the question marks from not from the wide receiver room itself, and we're going to get into more of the expectations for individuals, but it feels like the biggest challenge is trying to find what you were expecting Rashee Rice to give you in these first six games. And this is something beyond, obviously, just in week one, but notably because it is the first official week, because it's go time. Who's that guy that replaces Rashee Rice? Where does the production come from? Is it a by committee thing? Is it a one guy that is filling in the role? And maybe he's not as productive, obviously, because Rashee Rice is the number one wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, that is, to me, the biggest challenge or question mark is overcoming the absence that you'll have in Rashee Rice. I mean, did they? It'll be really interesting to see what the strategy is early on for the Chiefs within like the first couple of drives. I think we'll get a feel for how the game is gonna kind of go a little bit. Where is Xavier? Is it all Xavier Worthy thing and Travis Kelce? It's gonna be Xavier Worthy and Travis Kelce a lot like last year, or are they gonna try to mix it around? Is the deep ball still activated there? Hollywood Brown, of course, in the mix. All of that'll be, to me, it's a challenge. It's also the biggest question, I think, going into the game itself outside of, you know, left tackle play. I do think Christian Fulton, because has he been battling anything. He's just been coming back from.
Yeah, he was hurt most of the training camp, yeah, most of the offseason.
He's coming back from being out.
Yes, came back from injury, has been playing, has been practicing, has been, as far as I'm fully aware, has been incorporated now into that starting lineup. I think that is the plan, but it just depends. Then, right now, I mean, it's
Jalen Watson, right?
Yeah, right now it's Jalen Watson. Yeah, so. And that's been another battle, right? Like they've got a lot of corners. Do they want to trade Joshua Williams? That's been a discussion as well. But yeah, so the secondary is something that I'm thinking about. And when you bring up Rashee Rice, I think you have to go back to JT's point and how good is Josh Simmons? How ready is he? Because I mean, I think a lot of that's the game plan, right? You know, what are we able to do? If the Chiefs are able to run the football efficiently 20 plus times a game, which they haven't really seemingly done consistently. Now, we've seen them do it in flashes. We've seen them do it in stretches. Andy Reid has these kind of flex games where he kind of, you know, just flexing the hog, dude. He kind of just wants to let you know, hey, you know I can air raid. You know, boss. I can pass 40 times a game. Hey, 350 yards, four touchdowns, fun screens, little merry-go-round, merry-round-the-rosy plays, all those sorts of things that you've never seen before. I've got that. But hey, I can old-school football it. I coached offense in the 90s. I know what this is. I can run 25 times a game. We see that every year. Sometimes we see it more often than not. I mean, shoot, when Kareem Hunt was here, we saw it quite often that first season, 1,300 yards. He just hasn't had the running back to do so. And I'm not saying Pacheco's that back, but the offensive line has the potential to be this offensive line because the strength of these five guys up front, Kingsley is a run blocker at left guard. He just is. He's a mover.
He graded significantly better in the preseason for running.
Oh, yeah. All of his grades, you know, advanced stats there. But then, of course, just like if you watch him eye test, like his athleticism, his ability to get to that second level, active hands.
And all that other stuff.
Yes, all that stuff. Josh Simmons, we know what he is as an athlete. And then Creed, Trey, we know what those guys are. And then the right side, Juwan Taylor is what he is. So, yeah, I think they have the ability to get up to that second level and really create some holes for Pacheco, who I think has his burst back. I think he's kind of an underrated piece of this offense with
Rashee
Rice.
He's back to running
out
like a bulldog again?
Yes, he is. Like, he's never going to be a top half of the league back. He's not going to be exciting. I think in my Fantasy Football Sunday show a couple weeks ago, I described him as flaccid. Like, he's not going to get you up and moving and excited. But, like, Pacheco's a quality running back, especially when healthy. So that's a big part of this game, too. Josh Simmons, the running game, what are they able to do? Because if they're relying on Mahomes again for 6 weeks, that's not what you want.
I think so. One thing that I'm also intrigued about is maybe because of the way that the Chargers play, if the Chiefs get the kick, if they get the coin toss, did they take the ball first and say, we're starting this thing, we're going up, we're going to force you to have to throw the ball more than, like, because Harbaugh will mix it up. Traditionally, he's going to run the ball. Like, it's John Harbaugh or Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh, the Harbaugh brothers. It's just the way that they do things.
Yes.
If you get the coin toss, you take that and we're going to punch you in the mouth. We're going up 7-0. We're going to get a stop. We're going to go up 10-0. All of a sudden, we're going to take away what you like to do as your philosophy. We're going to make you uncomfortable. I wonder if that's how things kind of start, I'd be intrigued to see what the decision is. Like, they come in and it's like, hey, you know what? We're winning the coin toss. We're taking the ball and we're going to be aggressive from the jump. Because I think to your point about Andy doing things a little bit differently, I don't know if you, because not that it plays into the hands of the Chargers, but if you're playing that game where you're like, yeah, we're going to run the ball a little bit, you know, and it's just how it's going to go. It doesn't feel like it's Chiefs football in a way. I don't know if that makes sense, but there's other teams that I think who throw the ball all over the yard. They'll run the ball, but it feels like primarily you want the ball in your playmaker's hands. That's where I think last year at times when it would be fourth and one and they would run the ball, it made just let Patrick Mahomes make the throw that you know he can make.
Yeah.
Stop trusting the offensive line. Stop trusting Kareem Hunt because it didn't work multiple times last year. They can't get the yard for whatever reason. They couldn't get it. Let Mahomes throw the ball. I know philosophically it doesn't sound right.
Are you talking like you short yardage situation specifically?
Notably short yardage specifically, because if you have an incompletion on the first down and then you run the ball on second and 10 and you get 3 yards, you're not. They're better when they pass the ball just because their best player is the quarterback.
Yeah, it's not, you best know, player
it's
in the world.
It's not like you have, like, I know that Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback, but it's not like your best player on the field is your running back or your best player on the field is your wide receiver, where you got to,
oh, I agree.
You know, you manage that a little bit where I think, because did they run the ball 25 times in a game last year?
I mean, we could look it up. Yeah, no idea.
I think, I would think that they did, because I know that they you did. Said,
yes, of course.
But like, I wonder what the, it would feel like at times they just needed to stop running the ball and throw it. There were a couple of times last year where they got off to slow starts on offense, and it's like, man, just throw the ball every single time. Because Pacheco was, now that he's back, I know why you would say, yeah, run the ball, because he's your feature back. You got,
yeah, he's healthy got pieces. He's not 3 yards in a cloud of dust potentially. He's not breakaway for 45 yards. He's not going to get you massive plays. But
he was struggling in his yards. In the games he played, though, he was struggling a little bit. Like up until in the game one and game two, up until he got injured last year, even when he came back, he just didn't have the yards per carry. And Kareem Hunt was getting more, which and the burst seems to be back. So do you go to that more, or do you just say, you know what, we're giving the ball to 15. Pacheco, you're going to get 10 to 15 touches, and that's it. And we're not running the ball more than 20, 25 times, and I think we're just getting after it in that way. Like, even short yardage, throw the ball.
Of course, I think they should throw the ball. I'm not saying they should change who they are philosophically. You have Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying...
Use more of what you have
on
offense.
They need to be able to rely on something else that's not Mahomes at all times.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about the offensive line. They need to give him more time. Well, running the football is a form of protecting your quarterback. Because that changes what the defense does.
Yeah.
And if we are not able to run the ball efficiently and effectively this season, the Kansas City Chiefs are not able to run the ball efficiently and effectively this season, that will greatly hinder the ability of the offensive line to protect 15. And that's what matters more than anything. Because you're right. On a third and two, fourth and two, in a big game, doesn't really matter what game.
Run the ball.
You're keeping it in Patrick Mahomes' hands. Hopefully you're having him roll outside the pocket, and then it's a two-way game, right? I'm either throwing it or I'm running it, and it's over. We've seen that a million times. So I totally agree with you, right? On the back-to-back Super Bowl win against the 49ers, third and one, fourth and one, what do they do in the first drive, overtime? Play action, outright, Travis Kelce's there, fake the pass, run for 5 yards, Mahomes gets it. So no, they do that all the time, and I think they should stick with that. But of course, they need to be able to run the ball effectively, and I think they tried to at the beginning of the season. Kareem Hunt was a really fun story for the first couple of weeks that he came in and joined, but past that, it was not effective, as you've mentioned. So I'm not saying they need to run the ball over 50% of the time, but if they can have games where Pacheco has 15 to 20 carries and they're great, that is just as effective as Josh Simmons being good too.
If you missed it yesterday, Nate Taylor had a story out last night. The Chiefs and Trent McDuffie are not going to reach an extension, of course, before the season starts. His base is a little over two and a half million. And McDuffie said, moving forward, now just really worried about the season and the game. Not too worried about the contract. That could just happen in the offseason for him. I mean, it should be that way. And he's also probably sitting pretty anyways. Why? Like, getting the extension would be great, I think, as you know, you want to secure that generational wealth and all that other stuff, but also knowing the cornerbacks are getting paid, and he'll be up next is also a nice thing to have, but it'll just be till next offseason. I don't think there's anybody else in my – there's nobody else, right, that's supposed to get paid before him now?
In the corner room? No.
Stingley, Sertan, yeah, Sauce.
They're all done, yeah. So
all got paid.
J.C.
Horn.
I mean, there's always someone next, right? There's always someone up.
Trent McDuffie is the guy, though.
He's the guy, yeah. He's the guy. And the longer it goes, the more you kind of wonder, okay, is it going to happen here in KC? Because they paid a lot of people. So, no, that is interesting that comes out here. But McDuffie is one of the best pros in the National Football League.
They're going to pay him. There's a lot of people who on the text line have said they shouldn't pay him, or they're not going to because of their history. But Trent McDuffie is...
I mean, I get that.
Trent McDuffie, I know that somebody, I think, had said that Marcus Peters was as good or better. Trent McDuffie is a better cornerback
than
Marcus Peters.
Jeez.
He is a better cornerback than Jalen Ramsey. He's the best corner the Chiefs have had in...
Marcus Peters...
How long has it been since they had a corner of Trent McDuffie's talent? Ever?
I mean,
would you say no?
You'd have to go back.
You'd
have to go back more than a decade. And the names that come to mind are instantly safeties. They have not had a cornerback. Maybe
because people are like, Marcus Peters was pretty good. Stop. Trent McDuffie doesn't get thrown the ball his way. So that's again, if you're going to box score watch, there's certain guys. Quandre Diggs looks amazing until you see him get beat five times a game too.
I wouldn't put Brandon Carr.
I was going to say Brandon Flowers, maybe.
But I don't think I'd put them. No, I don't think they're like first team all-pro.
If we're talking like top three corner in the game.
Yeah, I don't think they're that. So you're talking about like an Albert Lewis or someone. You're going way back on someone. So, that is the discussion that McDuffie's in. Like in a couple of years, we will be having that topic here on 96.5 The Fan. It was about like, oh, is McDuffie the best Chiefs corner of all time? So I agree. He's an anomaly. He's in an echelon, a tier of his own. And they should pay him, but it does make you wonder, the more they pay other people, the question marks do rise. But
that's why I would have waited to pay George Karlaftis, or I would have and then tagged him next year. But
I love that contract, though, as far as value is concerned. I really do.
Yep. I mean, George just has to have another
good season.
And we'll have to see how that goes, of course, starting on Friday. Just a reminder, Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the wide receiver room in further detail. What's the plan without Rashee Rice? Who needs to step up? We'll talk about that and also some college football next on Cody and Gold.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We are back on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan. You're home for KC Sports. Mac Morey in the house. JT Noah, producer behind the glass. I am Drew Nixon. Happy to have you along for the ride today and the show for those of you who are not working on this Labor Day. Enjoy your day off. Hopefully you have a fantastic day. For those who are grinding and still going at it, we are here with you, and we are happy that you are listening and tuning in to Cody and Gold. The regular shows will be back tomorrow. Mac will be back here at, unfortunately, what, 5 a.m.?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ready to go, baby. Come on.
Live and ready.
Gliding you through your morning. 6 to 10, Fesco and Dusty. We're going to be excited because it's Chiefs week, baby. We're here.
It is.
It
feels really good. I know that because, so I'm obviously the college football guy, but the fact that we have
College football better than the NFL. Keep going.
That is, by the way, my fantasy football name. College football is better.
God, that's so bad. It's just objectively
wrong. We're going to get to college football here in about 10 minutes or so, but in the first segment of the show, we talked a little bit about the wide receiver and some of the biggest challenges. And one of those is, of course, maybe not a challenge. It is a challenge to replace Rashee Rice, but it's a question mark as well. But given that Rashee Rice is not going to be available for the first six games, what is the plan in your mind going forward? Who do you think needs to step up? Is this something that, like we talked about a little bit, maybe Andy Reid adjusts some of the game planning and Matt Nagy does just to try to cope with not having a Rashee Rice level replacement? What do you think the plan is for this first 6 weeks, and notably, really, you know, game one, of course, on Friday, but going forward for the entirety of the suspension?
I mean, I think that's the question, right? There's lots of options, which is what's great about the Chiefs roster, the depth that they've acquired over this last offseason.
A healthy wide receiver room is,
well, healthy-ish. Relatively. That's where I was getting to is, yeah, it's great to have all those pieces, and the depth is there, and that what leads the question marks. Is it Travis Kelce in that tight end room that might be the deepest and best tight end room overall in the National Football League? Like, really? Likely in Andrews? Dude, Noah Gray and Robert Tonyan, and if Jared Wiley is anything at all, like, that's four tight ends right there. We'll see what the running back room is. Doesn't get me excited. But Jalen Royals was my big take this offseason about being a Rashee Rice insurance plan. Because he's Rashee Rice, right? He's a half inch shorter, 10 inches or 10 pounds bigger, and great route runner, yards after the catch, a hell of an athlete, sure hands. Mm-hmm. That's what you want for Rashee Rice underneath routes. But without him, I mean, I think it's a combination of Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown. I think everyone has to step up. But I think Xavier Worthy is the number one wide receiver in this offense. Like, there's no question. Travis Kelce will have a big 6 weeks. Like, he'll have to kind of get ready to go a little bit, and then he can get on the load management route once Rashee Rice gets back. But I think for the first 6 weeks, it's going to be more regular snap counts that you've seen in the past, rather than hopefully what we get him on later on, which is like kind of want him Ray Allen Miami Heat numbers, right? You want him coming on, hitting corner threes, having the best plays for him when he's fresh and ready to go, mm-hmm. and when you need him in the game. That's what you want Travis Kelce to be this season. First month and a half, though, I think he'll be doing a lot of those Rashee Rice routes. So him and Xavier Worthy are the guys. I mean, I don't really see any other options. Tyquan Thornton, pick up slack. Hollywood Brown, pick up slack. But those are the two guys.
You think it's a more by committee sort of deal? But obviously, you know, the big two are going to have to step up. I agree with that. I think that because Tyquan Thornton doesn't really fit the mold of what Rashee Rice is. It feels like, to me, it feels like Juju is that guy more than it is. Even Jalen Royals, because not that Jalen Royals can't be a good wide receiver, but I'm a little hesitant to say Jalen Royals is the guy that can eventually replace those snaps just because, I mean, we've seen rookies do well, but how the Chiefs kind of have done things previously with wide receivers, it makes me think that, look, Rashee and Xavier Worthy are first and second round talents. Jalen Royals was picked in the fourth round. Good talent, obviously, as we know, but I don't think we can expect him to fill the void like Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy did each of the last two seasons. That's where I think having a guy like Juju in the room is so big, where
yeah.
at first, like for Friday, I think it would be a by committee, but it'll be Travis Kelce featured, Xavier Worthy featured. I think Juju is going to get a good amount of playing time just from the standpoint of he knows Patrick Mahomes. They've got a rapport. Also, he fits more of what style of player Rashee Rice is. Maybe by the time we get to week 5 or 6, though, we do see Jalen Royals start to pick things up a little bit more in the offense. He's out there a little bit longer. He's able to provide a little bit more of a boost from a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 standpoint when they're in the gun as well. But, you know, I think that for the wide receivers, Juju, I think, is the guy that I'm looking for on Friday. More than anybody else. As far as the plan overall, I agree with you, though. It's going to be a Travis Kelce, a Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, by committee sort of thing. Mahomes will spread the ball out. I don't want to say Breshard Smith.
Yeah,
but I think him being involved in the passing game, that's something that I liked the prospect of. But based on what we've seen in the preseason, that shouldn't be an expectation.
No, he's a really fun later in the season, getting ready for the playoff stretch.
A random
into
package.
The playoffs, that's going to be fun. Yeah. He'll be ready. But you know the way rookies work in the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. Like that's
which
going
is why
to
I'm hesitant
time.
On Jalen Royals being right now. I get what you're
agree.
Saying that you like him. I think we're more likely to see him. I don't know if he's going to be involved very much on Friday.
I agree.
I think
this
it'll
week,
be
yes.
like week 5 or 6.
Well, he won't be involved. He's not going to play this week, but yeah.
Week 5 or 6 is where he's not going to be Xavier Worthy or Rashee Rice, where he's helping carry the torch, but he'll be involved, I think, more. He should be. Otherwise, we're going to start to question
my hope is
a little bit.
My hope is maybe. The first 3 weeks. No, I don't think you will, because, again, it is so slow. This process is slow, and it is aggravating,
especially
slow.
When the room is really good. Like the room is good.
So the room's good.
There's
the
no
room's
reason
deep.
For him to. There's no reason for him to get high quality reps right now because
yeah, there is and there isn't, dude. Like he is what we know Rashee Rice already is. Like that's what we hope Jalen Royals is. And the one way to know if that's what he actually can be and has the potential for is put it on the field. Put tape on the field. Let's see it in film. Mm-hmm. Let's see it against maybe not the Chargers, maybe not the Eagles. But week 3 against the Giants on Sunday Night Football, like I want that to be like my hope is the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, it's Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Like you said, like him running those Rashee Rice routes underneath stuff, hopefully some yak. Thing we forget about Juju, he's 28 years old. Like people act like he's 32 and it's over. He had some rough injuries,
knees,
changed
man.
His career.
The
yes, the knees are not there, but like he's 28. I'm hoping we can get a 500-yard season out of Juju Smith-Schuster this year. That would be awesome. Had 200-something last year. But by week 3, week 4, on until week 6, week 7, when mm-hmm. Rashee Rice is back, that would be a great 3 or 4 week stretch for Jalen Royals to have some serious usage. Like, let's get him in some screen passes. Like, remember Rashee Rice a couple of years ago, how they really started to implement him into the offense was, hey, here's a little screen pass. You're going to have 2 blockers in front of you. Read the gap, and let's hope you get 8 or 9 yards. And he'd sometimes turn it into 15. Or, oh, hey, here's a little slant route for 4 yards. If you beat that corner off the angle, like you're gone for 15. Like that's what we need Jalen Royals to do a little bit of, but I think you're right. I don't think it's at the beginning of the season, which sucks. Part of that's his injury. Part of that's just it's the Chiefs.
I will say this about Rashee Rice before we get to something that JT just texted us, and I'll let you say it, JT, here in a minute. For Rashee Rice, he had to take the suspension and do the first six, because if he'd have fought it, all of a sudden I know she was lenient with Deshaun Watson, but who's to say she's going to be lenient with Rashee? Let's say she says, oh, it's going to be eight games. All of a sudden there's an appeal and it's a mess. It is a cloud. It is a distraction over the Chiefs, and it's a constant thing that would be brought up on a regular basis. Now we know what it is. There's no questions asked. Rashee Rice will be out the first six games. You get it out, wipe your hands clean, it's done.
Yeah.
You get to ride out the rest of the season and get the offense ready to go for the playoffs. You don't have to worry about, well, we got the first four, then we have to figure out the offense without him, then he's back again.
Yes.
Get the first six games done, get it out of the way, and then from there
rip the Band-Aid off, bro.
Yeah, you're able to build and build all the way up for when Chiefs fans know the season actually matters and begins, which is playoff time.
If you go, I mean, this won't happen because it's the Chiefs, but if you do go 3-3 to start the season, which would be, I feel like the sky would be falling here in Kansas City.
I have a question for you and for everybody who's listening coming up in the Chiefs Red Half Hour around this kind of theory.
Okay, I'm excited. If that happens, like, you're getting a number one wide receiver. It's like you're trading for a number one wide receiver right in the middle of the season when you get Rashee Rice. So even if you do start 3-3, 4-2, which again, come on, guys, that's not happening. You're getting Rashee Rice back after that. No, it's not happening. No, of course not. No, come on. I don't know how long we need to show you. I'm excited for the Chiefs Red Half Hour now. I already was, but boy, lather me up. JT, what do we got? Come on, buddy.
I would be totally fine with a 4-2 record, just for to be clear.
I would be too.
I think you should be at 4-2. Okay. You should be happy with that.
But you should be, Cincinnati. You'd hope for 4-2 to start.
I'm not worried about them right now.
The people that need to step up on the Chiefs offense are the veterans. Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce.
Okay, yeah.
Those guys that have been around Patrick Mahomes,
Pacheco?
They need to step up.
Noah Gray?
Noah Gray, Pacheco. Those guys that have been around. Even Kareem Hunt. We just need to see the veteran leadership step up while you're missing someone. That's what you need in a football team. Now, the news that broke, wouldn't say it's like major news, but it is not NFL news. It is the Royals have placed Jonathan India on the 10-day IL. So that makes sense on why they brought up three players yesterday. You get two openings. You brought up three. Everyone was wondering why. Well, Jonathan India has been placed on the 10-day IL retroactive to August 30th because of a left wrist sprain. I don't remember when he necessarily hurt the wrist. I don't know if he got hit on the hand by any chance, but India's on the IL. We talked about Carter being called up. Cags is called up, and then Avila has also been called up.
And obviously Cags an injury designation, so not really counting for a roster spot there. So really the two additions, Jensen and Avila. So, okay, let's talk about this. Well, let's do college football later. Let's do some roles, because I've got some thoughts on this. First off, my first thought is, Drew, that's disappointing just from a trade perspective. Like, if you go hindsight 2020, I think still trading Brady Singer was the right choice, and I'm not trying to diss that decision at all. But, man, kind of wanted more for Jonathan India this season for the Royals. This sucks. I know it was a lot of injuries, a lot of bangs, a lot of bruises, but it never felt like he had a rhythm. Felt like there were some flashes of him when he was batting fifth and sixth and seventh, but leadoff, the Royals were supposed to get a sure-handed leadoff guy who could help on defense, and it felt like they never really got that. So that's disappointing for him and for the Royals for a first season acquisition. But as far as the Jensen and Cags thing goes, I mean, it's good. It's hopeful. I'm not ready to be disappointed again. I'm sure some of you Royals fans are, but
Dusty.
Yeah, Dusty's exam. Yeah, come on, let's go, Cags. Come on, Carter Jensen, top prospect. I'm more of the old head, like Bob Fesco, think of like, that's all an idea. That's all fun to think about.
You're saying pump the brakes.
Let's pump the brakes. This is a team that's hopefully trying to go towards the playoffs. But, yeah, man, disappointing for the India thing.
My question for both of you, because it kind of goes towards both of Cags and India.
Yes,
please. Do you think that India had so much pressure on him being the leadoff spot, being traded to be a leadoff batter, that he might have overthought everything and put too much pressure in overswinging and stuff, and that's what happened today? Or, well, this season, not today.
Well, this season, yeah, this season, yeah. I mean, 100%. It felt like he was in his head all year. It felt like there was way too much going on, not just from, like, analytics, oh, this is what I need to hit, oh, this is my VORP or whatever. Like, no, it just felt like there was, yeah, pressure internally from him. Yeah, I agree, JT, yeah.
And I think that's what happened with Kegs in a sense, too. Oh, you get 100%. Called up, and guess what? All the pressure's on you. And we try to say, oh, the pressure's not. But there was pressure
on
him.
He's not the prophet. He's not the solution. He's not the second coming of, yeah, no. But it was like it all did kind of happen. Yeah. It did happen, and he wasn't any of that. And that's okay. Kegs could still be a great player.
And that's why we got to also pump the brakes with whatever Carter Jensen does. 100%. I think. Because for the amount of people who are crazy and have said, well, you know, maybe Kegs just isn't that guy. He's struggling, yada, yada, yada. There's plenty of examples of other players who have also had a little bit of issue in their first 40 games. Like if Carter Jensen comes up and he's hitting a home run almost every single time he's up at the plate, that doesn't mean that he is a better player than Jack Kegler. That doesn't mean that he's ready to take over the starting role going into the playoffs at whatever. Like, he needs to be on the field every day. That doesn't mean all those things. So I think
it's been a very reactionary baseball season.
I think it's the same thing. It's along the lines of the same thing with one loss happens and everybody's ready to throw in the towel and the season's over with. When it's not, there is a mathematical chance for them to make it.
Of course.
There is a mathematical chance for them to get into a wild card spot in the next 5 to 10 days. They have more than 5 to 10 games. It's not like it's go.
25 games, I believe. Yep.
It is go time.
Oh, yeah. It's good. No, it's go time.
But it's not over.
It's not over. No, it's not over. But it is go time. There's no more BSing around. You have to do this now. Like,
it is unfortunate, though, that Jonathan India is going, because he had been playing a little bit better as of late. To JT's point, though, he is having a career worst season in terms of the major metrics of on-base percentage, batting average, slug. And you know, if you look at those, I mean, OPS, he's having a worse career season in that. And maybe it's some of it is the pressure of, hey, we're bringing you in and this is what we're doing it for. And they just haven't been able to fulfill the expectations of the season. But you can't have ridiculous expectations and get mad when the results aren't touching the like, I think some people, I don't know what the expectations were for some people. I think it was make the playoffs or win the division.
Okay, you're saying for the team. I thought you were talking about for Indy. For the team.
I think that performance plays into the entire thing.
They told us the expectation.
Yeah, expectation was playoffs.
Playoffs. And, yeah. They said that.
Which, again, for the team is not a high expectation. The first time in a very long time they've gone back-to-back to the playoffs?
Yeah. Maybe the 14-15
years. I believe so.
Maybe that was a high expectation. I don't know. But in terms of them making the playoffs, that did, based on the roster and the moves that they made, it didn't feel like it was a high expectation. Where them not getting there would be underwhelming, but I think it's part of it is everybody's so used to the Chiefs being good, and it doesn't matter what tries to phase them, it doesn't phase them. It's just different with this team where, like, if they go 84-78, that's not a bad season for the Royals.
It's
disappointing, but by no means is it a bad season. And I think that's how people can look back on it. Maybe I'm just taking the optimistic point of view is, hey, Jonathan India is playing better as of late. It might not be enough to make it, but
yeah.
How you looking at the direction and what they're going to have going forward, you should be encouraged regardless of what happens. You could be disappointed, but also encouraged. It's possible.
Well, India and the team separate. I'll separate the India thing. I mean, from this season, like that was a like failure as far as proof of concept. It was a failure. It didn't happen, right? Wanted him to be a high 200s hitting leadoff hitter that was reliable and surefire to set up Bobby Witt.
Just the same as the team trying to rely on the outfielders that they currently had and not being able to get a bat.
Yeah. 100%, right? Those were some things that didn't work out. But the idea and the way to go about trading Brady Singer, like, I'm okay with that move. Again, I don't think it's a failure to trade Brady Singer away and, oh, I wish we had him. Like, all that's great. The pitching, the bullpen, that's fantastic. It made sense. So that's okay. It just didn't work out with India this season. That's fine. Now, as far as the Royals go, I am less optimistic than you are. Like, this season to me is pretty much over. Like, and I know it's not, but like, if you can't go and beat these teams like the Detroit Tigers who come to your house, you've played them now 6 times in the past 10 days, 12 days. You, you won what, two of those games? One of those games? You got swept in Detroit, right?
No, you won one in Detroit.
You're right. So two out of six games?
Yeah.
Dude, you've got to be able to win some of these series, man. You've got to be able to win some of these series against really good teams. Now, this is a team coming up in the Angels, I believe, starting tomorrow. That's below 500. Seven or eight games below 500. This is a team that you got to keep losing teams losing. You're at the K in a homestand. Every series coming up is a playoff series. It gets bigger and bigger. But I'm not going to change my outlook on the Royals until they get a winning team and they stop them from winning. That has not happened enough this year.
Hang on. In terms of what, though?
I mean, they just played a great team in the Detroit Tigers.
I know, but a playoff team. Okay, so in terms of them being a playoff team, you're not buying it until they can
beat another playoff team.
Because
last year they didn't do that. They were only beating up on bad teams.
Exactly.
Like. And they won a series.
They won a series. Yeah, they went to the DS. That's fair.
Which is why, to me, I slightly disagree just because the Tigers are the second best team in baseball. So to me, them struggling against the Tigers doesn't mean they're not capable of being a playoff team. Now, if we're talking to win a series, I can get behind that 100%. But in terms of them getting into the dance,
it's just tough for me to get excited about this team.
No, I know. When that's the case. I totally agree. If you're just beating up on the bad teams and you're struggling against the, I totally get why you're not getting behind them, because you want to see them make a run. You want to see them get back to the World Series, and you know that that's, you're saying they're almost like the Pittsburgh Steelers in a way.
Literally my take on Fesco and Dustin. They're the Steelers.
Yeah, they're falling into that category of they're a solid team, but they're not a really good team. Yeah. And they're not a really bad team, but they're eh.
They have a great defense. They rely on a star player, and they have good role players around him, and they lose to most teams over 500. Now, you've got the 64-72 Angels at home for three games. You play the Twins, who have been rough, 62-74. And then you've got the Guardians, who have had a bad latter half of the second half of the season. So you've got...
When do they have the Mariners? They have the Mariners right after that?
No, and then it's Phillies, then it's Mariners.
It's a big stretch.
Phillies, best team you'll probably play the rest of the season.
Yeah, they have the third best record in baseball.
You got the Blue Jays, too. That's a really good team. So you've got these next 3, 6, 10 games. You need to win 7 of them. 7 of 10. These are losing teams.
Yeah.
Six of these games at home.
I agree.
That will get me to start turning my head. Now, if you go and then lay an egg against the Phillies and get swept, I'm going to be right back where I was. And that's legitimate. Like, if you win 7 or 8 of 10 against these losing teams and then go lose and get swept against the Philadelphia Phillies, I will do exactly what I'm saying. Like, I will be right where I'm at right now, just as far as a mindset concerned. This team needs to not lay down. And again, the great game Saturday night. I was there. Fantastic. Bobby Witt was awesome. The defense was great. Not just from him. Steven Kolick, way to step up. Like, that was a good game. That was a huge team win. And then what do they do to win that series on Sunday? 5-0. I know. It's the best pitcher in the AL. I get it. It's Tarek Skubal. I understand. Zero runs?
I think that's where it's... I mean, he has...
Am I wrong? JT, am I off base?
Like, okay, can I... I'm going
to
say this.
Please, bring me back. Bring me back to Earth. Come on, I'm sorry.
You're being a little bit spoiled here because you're a big Chiefs fan. And you think...
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Nothing can go wrong with the Chiefs because they're so good that anything that can hinder them doesn't hinder them.
Exactly.
Go ahead, JT. I don't think it's too much to ask them to beat a good team in a series.
But what I want to take back is what you were talking about with the next 10 games.
Great.
Okay, so if you win those... Say you win 7 out of the next 10. Okay.
Great.
Okay, cool. If you lose 2 out of 3 to Philly... Okay, you say you're going to be. Are you going to be lost if they lose 2 out of 3 to Philly?
If it's like what I just saw in Detroit when the last game's 5-0. Yeah, I honestly will be.
Because here's my thing. I don't care what they do to Philadelphia. You could lose all three. I wouldn't be upset. You go out and win the next three against Seattle. Guess what? You're reeled back in like a deep sea fish because you could get swept by Philly. Cool, they're an NL team, but if you sweep the Mariners. Then it's like, oh, hot dog. You just swept the team that's right in front of you in the wild card spot. And guess what? Now it's tight.
This is where I think, to your point, I get why you're frustrated at them not being able to handle the Tigers and Tarek Skubal obviously being ridiculous in this tween phase. But to your point, though, when you're looking at the Angels and the Twins and the Guardians, who are also directly competing against you for a playoff spot, being able to snag a majority of those. And then obviously the direct competition is really the Guardians and the Mariners, where the Mariners, I went ahead and I looked up their remaining schedule for context, because that's the team basically that they're chasing at this point. They've got the Rays, then the Braves, the Cardinals, the Angels again, just like the Royals do. Then the Royals, Houston, Colorado, and then the Dodgers. So outside of Colorado, the last three series they have are a little bit tougher for the Mariners, where they've got kind of a similar window for the Royals of,
yeah, that's true.
It's go time. This is where we can separate ourselves, or at least maintain this gap that we have over Cleveland and over Kansas City. But I think you're right, Mac, in the fact that they can't afford any more slip-ups of not one game, but a slip-up of in a 10-game stretch, they're going 4-6. They can't afford that sort of a stretch going forward. But look, them losing 5-0 to Tarek Skubal, who I think is the most scoreless seven inning outings, I think, in baseball this year, is not that it's disappointing, but I don't think it's like the end all be all where they can't do it against Tarek Skubal and the Tigers. Yeah. Why should I think they can do it to anybody
else? And that's fair to point out that one specifically as that defines the season. I get what you're maybe saying.
I get your frustration, but I totally understand.
But that's a good point to say. Like that, Tarek, we can't just say, okay, Tarek Skubal lost. Yeah, that defines the season now. But this has happened repeatedly against solid teams, playoff teams.
I get
right?
why it's frustrating.
So that's why it's a little frustrating.
To me, I'm
glad you brought up the Steelers, because that was literally my point as well. Like, they're the Steelers.
That's a good comp.
They're the Steelers.
If you would have said this when they lost the first game in Chicago, the way they did, where they lost, I think it was like 2-0. That would have been more of a game where I said, okay, you got me there, because it was the Chicago White Sox. But going to the Tarek Skubal one, I'm like, I can't say that. Because here's my other thing. I love manager Q. I love
Contrero, great.
Great, Contrero.
Yeah.
Some people call him Quattro. We love it, whatever.
Whatever it is.
But I was very questionable of his decision to start Tolbert over Isbell because of the defense. And I was like, I get the matchup possibility, lefty-lefty with Isbell, but I thought your defense would be more, I guess, better to have against a Skubal than worrying about the plate appearance with Tolbert. And Tolbert then missed cue to play where it kind of allowed four runs to score in one inning.
Yep. So some of the stuff has kind of backfired, and it's not necessarily Q's fault. Vern has said repeatedly he blames the player. The players deserve a brunt of...
Well, yeah, they do. That's like in football. Okay, you have the players. They got to go make the play.
You know, for sure. We are way late for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some college football. It's KU legit. K-State are what to think of them. Also, Bo Pribula seems to be the guy at Mizzou. We'll talk about that and a little bit more next on Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.